It's an honor to be here this morning and to bring the word of the Lord to you today. Let's open up with prayer. Isaiah 26:3 reads, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Lord, make our minds good soil for your word today. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the word. I'll be reading from James chapter 3 today. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. You can be seated. You've heard three sermons so far on plurality leadership: God's design for church leadership, qualifications of elders, and the function and role of elders. Today, I will share the benefits of plural elder leadership. James 3 is clear and to the point. The tongue is difficult to tame, and it is a clear indicator of the heart. In retrospect, the wise are humble. They know good and well that only God can control thoughts and the manifestations of them. Humility is a benchmark, a highly visible fruit of a transformed, mature person. While boasting and lying are the signs of pride and deceit, humility focuses on God instead of the person. It is proof of submission to God. There are five of us on the spiritual leadership elder team: Dennis Hatter, Rodney Nice, Ben Fitzgerald, Pastor Bruce Hanke, and myself. And I can tell you with 200% surety that we are a humble bunch. Now, that sounds like bragging. I'm not bragging. That is an acknowledgement. We know what strengths that we bring, but we also are very aware of the weaknesses that we have. We know that we complement each other, which is a unique benefit. None of us can be everything to everyone, but with the cumulative gifts and personalities, we are much more able to serve this church. We know that we know what our call is, to be humble shepherds, serving this community and the one outside of our doors. We know that God has not called us to this post for our glory, but for His. None of us are focused on individual recognition or advancement, but the work that God has called us to. And we are fundamentally committed to maintaining that humility and that focus. We are cognizant of our call, the responsibilities involved, and the absolute need to serve with humility. Elders are called to oversee and direct the affairs of the church, which is why they are sometimes referred to as overseers. Oversight is the ability to prayerfully discern the totality of the church in all it encompasses, including God's direction for that body of believers. Although some elders will be passionate about missions or youth ministry or small groups, an elder must be able to see the church as a whole and not simply various components. They come to prayerfully discern God's will for the entire church and not simply part of the church. Elders need to see the big picture and understand how the various components fit together. The elders set the mission and vision of the church, asking God what He wants to accomplish. They then lead the church in the direction the Lord is asking the church to move in. Elders can't come to a meeting concerned, for example, about how well their child or their youth is connected to the ministry. There is a place for that, but when an elder comes with his family's personal good or agenda at the forefront, they are serving themselves and not God's family. While an elder does look at the minute details, which is natural, they also must keep the larger picture in focus. Oversight includes developing evangelistic and discipleship pathways, and then prayerfully discerning whether the ministries of the church are utilizing those pathways. As God is at work in the lives of unbelievers, our church needs to evaluate the available opportunities for their engagement. And as believers are growing in their faith, the elders are responsible for the ministries that serve to help young believers mature. Elders must wisely navigate and lead the church through tumultuous cultural times. They are the overseers of the church in entirety. The spiritual leadership team that we have today was founded during the pastorship of Wills Kitchen. Pastor Wills and church council saw the need for a team that would help tackle spiritual needs of the church. We had just been through the COVID epidemic. We had been for a time without a pastor, and church council had been challenged and faced the challenges to lead the congregation both spiritually and administratively. Since the inception, this team has grown and matured and has been taking on more and more spiritual leadership tasks. It may be visible or invisible to you, but the proof is there. The spiritual leadership team has been at work for years now, and Mountain View has benefited from it. The spiritual leadership team continues to grow in its ability and commitment to shepherd and protect this congregation. So here are some of the practical benefits for a church which is led by a plurality of elders. Elders provide wise counsel. Church leadership requires making a lot of leadership decisions, from choosing our next sermon series to what is taught in Sunday school, from choosing what ministries that our church will have to how to carry out these various ministries, from choosing what counseling advice to give to operating under the church budget. Thousands of decisions are required by church leadership. If truth be told, a solo lead pastor cannot be an expert in all of these areas. They do not always have all of the necessary experience, and they likely will not have knowledge of all of the options that go into making a good decision, much less a host of decisions. Having other perspectives and receiving the thoughts and advice of fellow elders is incredibly valuable to making wise decisions. By the end of a fruitful discussion, we may have come to see why a promising idea that we had should not be implemented. When we engage in brainstorming together, we are amazed to see how many good ideas come up and are refined through our discussion. As we are counseling a member through a difficult struggle or situation, and I want to insert this here, as a spiritual leadership team, we only share with each other what has been permitted by someone that we're counseling with. We do not break confidences. The insight that we may have received has been tremendously helpful to provide hope and spiritual growth to the one who has asked for help. No wonder we read of the benefits of an abundance of counselors in Proverbs 11:14. From King Solomon, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. No one but Jesus Christ has perfect wisdom. Confidence grows when Christ-filled leaders wrestle together through complicated matters. Unity and diversity. God is one being who is three persons. The persons of the Godhead are co-equal with diverse roles in creation and redemption. The triune nature of our God is depicted in plural eldership as multiple leaders oversee a fellowship together. Even if an eldership appoints a lead elder or designates other titles for some elders, a healthy eldership leads together and in harmony with one another. Every elder possesses the full authority of the office, even if functional differences exist between them. There's safety in numbers. A solo pastor is an easy target for Satan and those with hostile agendas. Ecclesiastes 4:12 reminds us that though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When a leader is under attack, he needs protection. One man is easier to pick off than two or three or a dozen working in tandem. If one elder becomes the object of unique, unjust accusations, others can come to his aid. Stability for the church. What typically happens when a church's lone pastor, when a church's lone pastor wears out, leaves, or dies? The church flounders. As months or even years pass, the church's ministry takes a hit. While a congregation waits on its next leader, a void of leadership can create a vacuum for bad things to fill. But what if our church never needed a search committee again? What if multiple qualified men could lead? Perhaps one could become the next lead elder. Even if a church looked outside for leadership, the existing eldership would already be in place to assess the next lead guy. Number five, a range of gifts. Every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve, and pastors must be especially able to teach. Some pastors are strong in the pulpit, but not as adept at one-on-one. Other men are excellent disciplers, counselors, classroom teachers, or small group facilitators, but struggle in large public settings. Each of these settings requires different skills, and not every elder is strong in every context, but multiple gifted leaders can round out the team. Shepherding for shepherds. A seasoned pastor with over 50 years in ministry once said, "I never had a pastor." And his words are troubling. There must be a better way, and there is. Every pastor should have a pastor. Now, for those of you who teach and have taught for a long time, I can only suppose that there are times where you miss being taught, where you miss being in a class and learning versus having to always teach. Well, a pastor is the same way. Where can a shepherd turn to find someone who understands? Someone who can minister to them, hold them accountable, and challenge them. And there can be avenues, like conferences or fellow pastors, but only someone from inside a congregation really understands what that pastor is facing. Sometimes the lead elder simply needs to sit with his family and be fed by another understanding shepherd, not only when he's on vacation, but when he's within his own fellowship. A plurality of elders, shepherds, serve the congregation and each other. Ask any of us on the spiritual leadership team. We'll gladly tell you how beneficial the other elders are to our lives. It is a new experience for us, and it is one that we are relishing. Encouragement when depleted. Burnout is one of the leading causes for short tenures in churches and premature departures from ministry altogether. Carrying the burdens with others lightens the load. What leader isn't discouraged or despaired at some point? One of the greatest joys in our ministry as the spiritual leadership team are regular elder meetings where shepherding is done together. We meet two or three times a month, and for instance, we met this morning here at church. We pray together, we pray for each other, and we pray for the congregation. We search Scripture for wisdom and leading. We rely on the strengths around the table and cherish the fact that we don't have to individually be all to everyone. We carry the load together. Within our team, we model what is and should be happening outside of that meeting room in the congregation. The body is made up of many parts, and only in harmony can the body perform the work. The hand cannot do what the eye can. They need each other. An elder team should be an example of how a congregation functions and relates to each other. Elders prevent the cult of personality. With one man in charge of a church, he can easily become the center of attention in church life. He is the one that everybody looks to for help and inspiration. His will quickly becomes the will of the church. And the personality of the leader is reflected in the personality of the church. But when a pastor serves among elders as a lead elder, as a co-elder, they share the ministry. He alone doesn't have authority, but he shares his authority with others. The church becomes more well-rounded and equipped as a result. Of course, a church with a plurality of elders can still develop a cult of personality around a lead elder. It's possible. When a church denies the parity and equality of elders, or when the church, the lead person has such a dominant personality that the elders who serve with him are just yes men who rubber stamp his decisions, then a cult of personality can still result. However, a plurality of elders should prevent this kind of leadership when qualified and godly men are called to serve as elders together with a preaching lead elder. This church, Mountain View, should honor God, and we should never honor any particular person. We need to protect from the cult of personality. Elders encourage biblical faithfulness. The Apostle Paul warned the elders of the Ephesian church, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And that's from Acts 20, verse 28. So elders must carefully watch over themselves. And we shouldn't read this in an overly individualistic way, as if each elder should simply watch out for himself over his own spiritual life. Paul is reminding the eldership to pay careful attention to each other. After all, Satan's first line of attack is often to attack the leadership of a church. And since elders are still sinners, we continue to wrestle with our sin. So we need each other to encourage one another in our faithfulness to Christ and in our ministry to his church. Together, we hold one another accountable. The quality of the leadership plurality determines the health of the church. Mountain View possesses that quality on the elder team now and in these pews. There are many uncertainties when considering an outside solo pastor. That's not to say that God wouldn't lead the right person to us, but he has already equipped and led men from this congregation to be shepherds. There is a comfort and a confidence in being able to appoint people who you already know, trust, and have a relationship with. We already have a strong, humble, Spirit-led elder team. And there are people here in this congregation who either qualify as elders or who are on their way to be discipled for that potential role. While there are not an abundance of pastors out there to pull from, and it gets harder every year, we have a rich field of shepherds right here. That is advantageous to remember as we proceed with the search for a lead pastor or elder. So these were benefits, 9 benefits of plural elder leadership. Are there any cons? That's a fair, honest question. And I can think of possibly 2, and I say possibly because they both depend on how they're handled. I see both as easily workable hurdles. The first is inefficiency. A solo lead pastor can make decisions quicker than an elder team. He may make them on the spot or after a short time of prayer and thinking. On the other hand, if you bring a question or an idea to an elder, you'll probably get the response, "Let me bring this to the spiritual leadership team and we'll get back to you." However, there can be value in abstaining from quick gut decisions, and most decisions aren't so time sensitive that they can't wait for that process to happen. Patience is a virtue. The second is experience. Quite often, an outside solo pastor will bring pastoral experience, higher education, and training and counseling. On our spiritual leadership team, we have a high cumulative count of years in ministry. Bruce, Pastor Bruce, has pastored his whole adult life. Dennis has taught and preached for probably at least as long as Bruce has. Rodney has been a youth pastor, an associate pastor here, a Jamaican pastor, and he's teaching Bible at Ridgeview, and he's been involved in the work of the church his whole life. And the same thing for Ben. And I've been a youth pastor, a licensed and ordained minister of youth and evangelism, and a member of this elder team. Together, we have well over, I didn't even try to count the years, but I know that we have well over 100 years of ministry experience among us, and all of that from a very wide range. In addition, everyone on the team has further education. From the Lowly Teen Missions Bible Missionary and Work Training Center that I went to Liberty University and Eastern Mennonite Seminary education and graduation with degrees, the 5 of us bring a lot of experience, perspective, and education to the table, along with a desire and willingness to continue learning and growing. And to be honest, there is no way that a sole pastor can provide as much experience and education as an elder team can. Elders are called to guard, feed, lead, and care for the flock God has placed in their care. There are those both outside and within the church who want to distort the truth and devour the flock. Elders are called to protect their sheep, and that's the short of it. We've already been on the job doing just that as a spiritual leadership team for years now. While a solo lead pastor can do the work, which has been our reference of experience for the past 125 years, an elder team can do it better. It has more experience, more gifts, more endurance, and it is perpetual. When this church is recognizing and discipling those who have the qualifications of an elder, it can continuously feed the elder team. Instead of uncertain, arduous pastoral searches, we can maintain our focus on building up our body and doing our kingdom work instead of being distracted by frequent pastoral searches. There is one more benefit of plural leadership, and while it's at the end of the sermon, it is the most important. Given our interpretation of biblical information, supported by the history of the early church, we consider the implementation of a plurality of elder pastor supervisors in the church to have an unparalleled advantage, the advantage of honoring Christ by obeying his commands. If it is the will of our Lord to design his church in a certain way with a certain leadership model, then our desire must be to conform our will to his. We want our will to always be transformed towards conformity with his perfect and holy will. This conformity of will and work being the essence of our sanctification process that the Bible so clearly and repeatedly demands and promotes, such as in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. May our hearts and minds always be set on this endeavor. With this advantage, no other advantage or disadvantage carries as much weight. We are of the opinion that God's demands have good reasons, and that he asks us to do things that ultimately are better than their alternatives. A solo lead pastor has worked at Mountain View, as well as many other churches, and Scripture doesn't forbid this method of leadership. However, it does clearly lay out a better way. Where one works well, the other surpasses. May we never stop striving to improve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word continues to give us much to think about and to discern. I pray that your Spirit, our helper, will continue to guide us. Amen.